I had planned a different, obviously, sermon for today because it was the next one in my series, right? And that's the way we work. We think, this week I'm going to preach on this, and next week I'm going to preach on what follows, and the week after that, and the week after that, and the week after that. And even that can become routine, forgetting that life is just not that series of expectations that we have. We often come to worship with one eye, half our brain fixed on the Lord, and half our brain fixed on tomorrow. And occasionally, God says, stop. Look up. I'm the one and the only one that you should be focused on. Tomorrow does not exist. Only in your mind does it exist. But my purpose for you, my love for you, my sacrifice for you is the only thing that matters. Tomorrow doesn't matter. It may not come. We don't think that way. We need to think that way occasionally. God wants us to realize that our hope is in Him. Our hope is in the Father. Not in what we think the Father is going to do tomorrow or next week or next year or anything like that, but our hope is in the Father, period. Not in what He's going to do in terms of our expectations, but our hope is in the Father because of what He has done and is accomplished in Christ. Nothing can change that. That's our hope. That's our joy. That's life. Nonetheless, like I said, we are less than perfect. Right now, we are still subject to all the things that humans are subject to in their fall, in their fallenness. So when I thought about what to say today, I was drawn to Mark chapter 9. You don't need to turn there. It's about the man who brings his child to Christ to be healed of the demon that dwells in him, that possesses him. The disciples have tried to cast this demon out, and he brings the child to him. And the son comes, the man comes with his child, and it says, when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowds, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, what are you arguing about with them? And someone from the crowd answered him, teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able. And he answered them, O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me. And they brought the boy to him, and when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. And immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe. Help my unbelief. Isn't that us? I mean, we believe. Sometimes that belief is just, it needs help. You know, this man was reflecting his humanity. He was reflecting his who he was. And God did not rebuke him. Christ healed the boy. But the man said, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. Help my unbelief. I've been praying that way. You know, I have cancer. I believe. And I've been praying. I literally have been praying. God, help my unbelief. I believe. I've given my whole life to serving the Lord. I believe. God, help my unbelief. It's a matter of fact for those of us who are in this world that we will always be plagued by pain and suffering and doubt and things that bring us to the point of despair. This man wanted his child to be healed. He believed in the Lord. He did not believe in himself. He did not think that he had that which was adequate to bring the Lord to help him. But that's not what God requires of us. And I'm reminded of that when I pray. I feel like God answers me. He says, you really think? You really think I need you to express your prayers and your belief to me in a perfect way so that when it's done, when you do that, then I will answer? No, you're the child. I'm the Father. When you come to me and you believe in me, I, as your Father, will be your Father. I will answer. I will love you. I will care for you. Your prayers were answered before you made them. I knew what you needed before you asked. Though we have our moments of unbelief, God is not shaken by our unbelief. God is not shaken by anything. God knows. God knows exactly what we need before we ask. And so I'm emotional this morning because I can relate. Who can't? We are, again, as I said, emotional beings. And if something like this happens and we convince ourselves that because we are Christians and we have hope in the Lord, therefore we should go on stone-faced and cold saying, well, oh well. You know, God knows what he's doing and I have faith. And suppressing our pain, suppressing our emotions, we are suppressing that part of us which God made, our emotions. He knows I would not create a child. I would not want any of my children to be born without emotions. I would want them to know joy. I would want them to know love. I would want them to be able to express those emotions in hope, in fear, in whatever way. And so God created us in his image to express ourselves to him in ways that reflect who he is. So when I go to the Lord, and when anybody goes to the Lord and says, help my unbelief, he understands completely. He made us. And he's redeeming us. And there will be a day, there will be a time, when we no longer have those moments of unbelief. That time is not yet. That time is not yet. Last week, you know, it was last week, and we didn't think that much was going to change between last week and this week, because nothing much had changed between that week and the week before it. We get into life, we get into a routine, and that routine becomes our God. We serve it. And God says, no, wait a minute. You don't serve this world or anything in it. I do not serve you by meeting your expectations. I have served you in Christ. And the only thing that you can do is put your hope in him. Because there is nothing else that will fulfill you, completely complete you, or save you. So we all this morning, I think, at least myself, can relate to this man who says, I believe. Help my unbelief. And God says, I know you believe. And I know you're weak. You're still human. But I have saved you. I have saved you. Nothing's going to change that. And he will help our unbelief. You know, there was a time in Carl's life when he was severely injured in an accident and was not expected to live, probably shouldn't have lived. And having lived, he probably shouldn't have been able to walk again. Many prayers went up. I believe God answered those prayers. And I believe he gave Carl more life. I believe he gave him more life in answer to those prayers. But nonetheless, God had a purpose in Carl's life. And now it has been accomplished. He gave us what we prayed for in answer to our prayers. But now he's taken Carl. That's all right. He gave us more than we deserved by allowing us to have Carl longer than we expected. And so now Carl has passed. Does that mean anything in terms of that which will be ultimately accomplished? No. You see, every Sunday at the end of the service, I said, now to him who is able to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, between last Sunday and this Sunday, God presented Carl to himself. And we rejoice in that. We look up. We realize that our hope is not in this world. Our hope is in the Lord. And when we look up, we see that God is there. And that's where Carl is. What more can we hope for? What more can we ask for? God has given it to us in Christ. So we grieve, and that's okay. God created us to grieve. Jesus grieved. He was perfect. That perfection didn't exempt him as a human being, one who was totally man, fully man, from expressing what it meant to be fully human. He stood outside the tomb of his friend and wept. And you may say, well, he wept because they didn't understand, or he wept because of this, and I think it was because that Jesus loved him, as it says in Scripture, and he wept. It's okay. If God can grieve, we can grieve. Then Jesus healed the man and gave him life. And there was great joy. If God can grieve and God can heal, that's all we need to know. We are healed. God loves us. Even as Jesus loved Lazarus and gave him life after death, so he sacrificed himself in death that we may have life. That's our hope, people. That's our hope. We grieve, but we do not grieve as do those who have no hope. Let's bow together.